cliffcentral.com.
It's Wednesday morning. I'm Sharon Dale, and I'm here with Jonathan Sinclair, and you're listening to Animal Central. I'm actually here today, John. I made it.
Yes, welcome back to the show, Sharon.
Still don't have a car. Still lying scattered on a mechanics workshop somewhere, but I've got my son's car today, and it's all zippy.
Yeah. So are you maybe going to keep your son's car?
Well, until I get mine back, eventually.
So what is your son doing, the poor guy?
No, well, he's stuck at home now.
I see how you operate, Sharon. I see you.
You know what? He's my boy. He's been driving me around for the last 2 weeks. So today, okay, he let me actually take his precious baby.
Yeah.
And such a cool song, this car, the sound system. Oh, I tell you what.
Well, I'm actually enjoying the fact that now my younger brother is learning to drive. Because then, you know, when you have to reverse the car in the driveway,
yes,
and your mom wants,
yes,
to wake you up, move your car. And I just said my little brother, and he loves it. He's so excited, so yeah. But anyway, this is the animal show,
so
Sharon.
It's the animal show. It's been freezing this morning,
yes.
And I want to actually, we've got some awesome guests in today. We've actually got Deborah Blaine in, who's the founder of Schnauzer Friends South Africa, and she's brought little Maximilian with to meet us. And then we've got Penelope Morkel, who's the clinic manager for Free Me,
mm-hmm,
and I've wanted to get Free Me in for a long time now because I've had a lot of dealings with them. But before we get started on that, I actually just wanted to mention the June-July issue of Canine Zone is out on stands from today. Our celebrity is our own Casper de Vries.
Yes, I think this is possibly the biggest.
It's just so awesome. I mean, the interview that he did, it's fantastic, mm-hmm, so don't miss it. There's also an amazing article in about a lady who volunteered to spend 24 hours in a shelter just to see what it's like from a dog's perspective.
Mm-hmm.
And what a story that is, to see what it's actually like to be a dog in a shelter.
I think it'll be cool to have her here. We should try and organize that. Yes.
We should do that.
But so what cover can we look out for this month,
well,
Sharon,
this
for Canine Zone?
Well, this cover is a Schnauzer. Mm-hmm. We are focusing our breedology on Schnauzers, which is why we've got Deborah and Maximilian in today.
Okay, now this Schnauzer on the front cover, is this Maximilian? No.
That's another model. Yeah. But as usual, we've also got how to choose the right toys for your dog. And something that I want to mention that is in this issue, and that is, The article's called When the Weather Turns Cold, because mm-hmm, I can barely sleep at night, especially when mm-hmm, that cold, icy wind comes up.
And now you imagine your animals outside.
And I mean, if you'd feel cold out there, they would feel cold out there. And very few dogs enjoy it. I mean, possibly a husky mm-hmm, or an Alaskan Malamute mm-hmm, might enjoy the freezing cold temperatures. But our dogs are domesticated. They need to be kept warm. So we've got this article in the magazine on how to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, if your dog is an inside dog, not a problem. Mm-hmm. You know, it's inside with you. The temperature's obviously going to be warmer. But the worry is people who want to keep their dogs outside. Very, very important to give them shelter. So it can be underneath a tarpaulin, in a garage, somewhere where it's draft-free. When that icy wind comes up, it's not going to affect them. A shed, underneath a carport, have them their own kennel. Those igloo kennels, I think it's Jojo, that mm-hmm, are ideal. Nice, warm, soft bedding. Make sure that the bedding is dry, because if it gets wet,
it's no good. But you know, Sharon, you mentioned that some people want their animals outside. Mm. I know that there are some dogs that don't like coming inside. If a dog has been trained to stay outside, yes, it almost stresses them out to then say, okay, tonight you're coming in the house.
Yeah.
They kind of feel lost and out of their element.
If they've been raised outside.
The solution then is outside shelter and just ensuring that they are dry.
And preferably off the ground as mm-hmm, well, because the ground gets
very
cold.
True. Yeah.
As I say, make sure that any bedding, pillows, something like that stays warm and dry. Don't let it get wet. But again, if the temperatures really get hot, it is better to bring them.
Sometimes I think their life is worth more than being uncomfortable. Let them be uncomfortable inside for a night
than be outside, because they can actually die of hypothermia.
Of course.
That is a real possibility. But as you say, I mean, it depends. If your dog's been raised – outside, it's a hell of a change for it to suddenly be brought inside.
Mm.
But I think dogs do belong inside.
No, for really sure.
Do. Just a personal opinion.
But you know, my family had a situation where we rescued a dog, and he was about 3 years old at the time, and he had such anxiety about passing into the house. If you literally had to pick him up, bring him in, and then he would wet himself, he really had. So whoever had him before, he was definitely not allowed inside, and he couldn't relax if he was inside. If you know, on really cold nights, you'd bring him inside, but then he wouldn't settle down. So it was a real challenge for us to find a way to keep him warm without forcing him, you know, to sleep in the kitchen.
Yeah. Well, there's actually heaters that you can get for outdoor kennels, and of course dog jerseys.
Yeah.
Very, very nice. I mean, I do try and put mine on my pit bull, and my bull terrier has her own pair of pajamas, but they do tend to take them off.
Mm-hmm.
But you can do that. I always make sure mine's got lots and lots of blankets and things like that. They are inside, but you can do the same outside.
No, for sure.
And then, of course, nutrition is very important, because when the weather turns cold, they need...
The metabolism is working faster, of course.
Correct. So just make sure that.
Well, it's funny that you actually wanted to talk about this today, Sharon, because I think, especially in Joburg, it is one of the coldest days of the year I've found for myself. So, you know, tonight, let's all just keep that in mind.
Yes, keep that in mind, because it does. Mind you, I had a neighbor with, as I said earlier, huskies enjoy it. They had a husky and a German shepherd, and these dogs would not go inside. They would sleep in the middle of their lawn, just out in the open. That's where they loved it.
Well, of course, it comes back to the biology of it. Some dogs' fur is designed to keep them warm. You know, there's certain reactions when wind blows on the fur, how the fur reacts. And that's why some people actually advise don't put a jersey on your dog, because their fur is actually designed to keep them warm. And when you put a jersey over that, it kind of counteracts that
natural effect.
Something like
that husky
would effect.
Probably overheat,
exactly.
Because that's where they... like the cold. They probably enjoy our winter more than our summer.
Exactly.
Because we actually are a bit too hot for those kind of breeds. But anyway, just please, please, please make sure that your dog is warm, comfortable, well-fed, and let's all keep safe and keep our doggies safe this winter. But now, let's move on and speak to Penny. Penny, welcome. Thank you for being with us today.
Thank you very much
for inviting me. Great to have you here. I've had dealings with Freemi when I found little birdies that have dropped out of nests in my gardens. And the first thing I do is phone Freemi. And then you guys would send somebody out to come and take this little chap. And so let's start with, what is it exactly that you do?
Okay, we basically deal with all Indigenous wildlife. So anything that needs to be relocated, that is injured, orphaned, abandoned, that is in need of rescuing, we are there to help with that. So basically birds, mammals, reptiles, even amphibians, we are there to help. We've got a African bullfrog at the moment who was dug out of his capsule. Because what they do is they encapsulate themselves in winter. They bury themselves underground.
To hibernate?
To hibernate. Okay. And he was dug up during renovations. And there's not much you can do with them then, because if you put them back on top in a pond or something, they're just going to die. So we've got him at the moment. He's re-encapsulated himself in a tank of soil. And he's just going to stay there now for the next 3 months.
What do they do? Like dig a hole?
Yeah, they bury themselves into a little hole, and then they create like a mucus capsule around themselves that hardens. So, yeah, even frogs.
Oh, shit. Maybe I was a frog in a previous life. I would love to hibernate for winter.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. So now you've kept him there, and then when spring comes, will he
come when spring comes, he'll actually dig up to the top of his sort of soil box that he's in now, and we'll know then that it's okay to release him.
What I really like about Freemi is that you deal with all kinds of animals, which really requires a lot more speciality. If you were just specializing in dogs or cats, you know, all the equipment is the same, all of the sort of enclosures are the same.
Yes.
But when you can literally rescue any animal, I would imagine that brings in lots of other challenges.
Yes, definitely. I mean, even if you just look at the number of vets that we work with specialist vets in all the different areas, and that's when you realize the number of expertise you need. You know, there is a reptile vet specialist, a bird specialist, you know, small mammals, large mammals, etc. So it does really require a lot more
A speciality
research
vet.
And specializing,
But now, like with the toad that you mentioned, they're also quite rare, aren't they? They're endangered.
Yes, they are an endangered species. So whenever you find one, please do look after
yes,
it.
Yes, don't kill it.
Yeah.
I saw a picture of one the other day. They're beautiful animals, but you don't see them. You don't hear them. Yeah. You used to hear them at night croaking.
Yes.
Mm. Gosh, so why is that? Just people killing them?
You know, it's habitat loss mostly. I mean, with pretty much most of the things that we used to find, especially in Joburg, in the outer areas like Fourways, Paulshof, Lone Hill, Kailami, all of those areas where you used to have specific habitats for certain species due to development and, you know.
I heard a big problem as well is people putting up walls.
Yes.
Things like chameleons and all these things are now being affected and can no longer breed.
Mm. Yeah, chameleons in particular, there used to be a lot of them in Joburg. I mean, I remember as a child, you used to see them in your gardens.
Yes.
They used to fall in the swimming pool. And you just don't see them anymore. And that's because
that's people putting up 6-foot brick walls. I suppose a palisade fence would be better.
Well, yeah. Does it stop them from moving around?
Yeah.
It makes it difficult
sort
for them
to move. Sort of
cuts
them off from the rest of their community. I mean, you can't even imagine.
And you've also got electric fencing. It's a huge problem for chameleons. They often get stuck on electric fences and die.
Shame.
And because we support feed birds in our gardens, we've got a far larger population of birds in smaller areas than you would before. And they are predators to chameleons. Even your normal garden birds will peck out the eyes of a chameleon.
Really?
Just because, unfortunately. So they also are just becoming more rare in Johannesburg.
Yes, yeah. And you're quite right. There used to be hedgehogs as well. I remember hedgehogs coming into our garden. You don't see them anymore either.
Yeah, those, you're still finding them sort of Paulshof. You still get some hedgehogs, and then Kailami and out that way you do. But your suburbs, like your Bryanston suburbs, Parkhurst Park, more, they used to have them and they don't anymore.
Yes.
Funny story, I saw two ringnecks on the weekend that looked really happy in the wild. I was at Galuli's farm, which is in the East Rand, and my friend said, look at that bird there. And I was like, what? He's like, it's a green parrot. And then I looked and it was a ringneck.
Yes.
And then later on we saw another one and they looked perfectly like they knew what they were doing. They weren't lost.
Comfortable, yes.
Yeah, so it's just interesting that these domestic birds can actually survive in South Africa like that.
Goodness.
I wonder if ever we're going to have colonies. And
yeah, we do actually have a couple of ringneck colonies.
Really?
They probably escaped from aviaries about 30 years ago, I think they say. And so the green ones that you're seeing now, there's established colonies in Morningside. There's one in Bryanston.
So interesting. Yes.
And it's the same with the rosy-cheeked lovebirds.
Oh, for real?
You're also seeing those little guys around in small colonies.
Have you ever seen the documentaries about Australia and the flocks of budgies that just, and they're actually a pest. And I think here in South Africa, you know, everyone loves their little budgie and stuff.
Yes.
In Australia, they actually, they can't get enough of them.
Yes.
I mean, they can't get rid of them fast enough.
So Penny, do you get a lot of calls from people that have found a bird falling out its nest, things like that?
In summer especially, I mean, the phone will ring constantly from, you know, 8 until 5 and then on to the after hours number as well. So we do get very many calls.
And I know you come out for anything. I think I've given two, what are the little weaver birds that have fallen out?
You know, unfortunately, a lot of the time, especially in the summer months, the baby birds that we are called for are actually ones that are just going through their normal process. So they're fledging from their nest and they would normally spend a day or two on the ground.
Yeah.
And because we've got dogs and cats, suddenly it's not safe for them anymore. So a lot of the time we do try and sort of mediate the situation and try and find a way for the babies to actually stay there, because we always,
it's part of their process,
try and have them stay with their parents.
But it's interesting that you mentioned
that,
because people don't know what to do with baby birds. You don't know, is it a fledgling that's just time to leave the nest?
Yes, and he's just hopping around.
Or is it a bird that requires your help? Because the moment you touch it, you're actually endangering it. Is that not correct?
No, it's actually not true. You can handle birds without their parents rejecting, if that's what you're talking about. It's actually it's a fallacy.
Oh, really?
It's probably something we were taught by our parents to stop us from interfering with things. So you can actually handle birds, and even for a couple of days, they can be away from their nests. You can put them back and they'll be accepted again.
So you can help them yourself.
You can help them yourself. I think it is always a good idea to get professional advice.
Yes.
Because even someone with the best intentions can unfortunately do a lot of damage if they don't have the correct information about either the species or just the general behavior of that animal.
I always try to look around for the parents. You can generally see a mother or a father looking out for it somewhere up on the roof.
Yes, there generally will be someone watching them. Yeah.
Yes. And you say reptiles as well? So we're talking snakes and lizards? That sort of thing?
We get quite a lot of rock monitors and Nile monitors in. Funnily enough, we've actually been getting a lot of Nile monitors from around Monte Cassino lately.
Really?
Because of that little river there.
Yes.
And they've also been doing building a bit further down there with that road extension. And those guys have been living there. They do cope quite well in urban areas because they're very opportunistic feeders. They'll eat whatever they can. And we've had two calls, I think, from the Pine Slope Shopping Center to collect monitors that are in the parking lot crawling up into the undercarriage of people's cars.
They can get quite large.
Yes, they can get up to about 2 meters.
Goodness.
So we get quite a lot of those guys in, the rock monitors as well. Most of them are relocations.
Yes.
But now in the winter months, they generally overwinter with us before we release them again.
Yeah, just for their own sake, I think.
Mm. Yes.
Yeah, but I would imagine also you get things that are dangerous that you have to rescue.
Yes. You know, a lot of the calls we do get are snake calls. So a lot, we do have a list of qualified snake catchers who we do then refer those calls out to a lot of the time if there isn't anyone at the center who's available to go.
Yes, yes.
But I myself do a lot of the snake catching and relocating. So one of the ones we deal with
brave.
A lot. You know, snakes are like anything else. It's just understanding their behavior and what they cope well with and what they're afraid of and what their general behavior
what they need.
Is.
Oh, no, I love snakes, but venomous snakes, healthy respects, definitely.
No, but I mean, have you ever been bitten?
Not by a venomous snake, no.
Okay. So by a non-venomous snake.
I have been bitten by a brown house snake, and that's because I think you're less careful with them. There's not much venom involved
true,
there.
But they've got little teeth.
But they do have some teeth.
Yes.
Yeah.
And what is the venomous snakes? What are the most that you get called out to come and remove?
Mostly it's wrinkles in this area. This is their sort of main stomping ground around Joburg. But you do also deal with puff adders a bit further north. We get calls for puff adders, Mozambique spitting cobras. But like I said, it's mostly the wrinkles. Luckily, you know, the boomslang and the mamba and the Cape cobras, those probably the more venomous snakes are not really Joburg
right
snakes.
Yes. Do you think there's less, Penny? Do you think you get more less call-outs now that they're becoming more endangered?
I do think so. You know, especially snakes, unfortunately, there is a huge sort of stigma against them. Most people will kill it before thinking of relocating it. And a lot of the snakes that we do get, unfortunately, are injured by the time we get them. You know, somebody's tried to remove their head with a spade or something like that, and it hasn't worked, and then they're not too sure what to do, and then they will call someone.
But the advice is, I suppose, just to make sure that they're sort of cut off. So if they're in a room, keep them in that room until people like you arrive.
Yes. Yeah, we always say to them, please watch the snake. You don't have to be standing next to it, but, you know, you can't say, we'll come in half an hour. A snake moves around because it's either it's busy trying to go somewhere, it's hunting, or it's scared, so it's trying to find somewhere to hide. Mm. So if they haven't been watching the snake, by the time you get there, you don't know where it is. And then it takes hours to tear apart a room or look in a garden, and a lot of the time you don't find the snake then.
Yeah, and then how do you sleep that night?
Yeah, so the advice we always give is please watch the snake.
We had that situation. We lived on a farm out in Hartbeespoort, and Egyptian cobra came into the kitchen, and I called the zoo to come out, the Hartbeespoort Zoo, and disappeared by the time they got there. They couldn't find it. They searched that whole kitchen. In the meantime, it had got into my fridge.
Oh, gosh.
And that night, it decided to come out, and my cat alerted us to it.
Well,
so we managed to. But it was actually
here
hiding in the fridge. So.
You know, funnily enough, they often do go back into the backs of fridges and freezers because the heating element is there.
Yes. So that was quite scary.
Sure. No, I would have been in a motel that night. Like.
Well, he said it may be in the fridge. I was saying, take the fridge. But
just
take it with you. Take the whole fridge. I don't care.
I'm like that with parkdown prawns. If there's a parkdown prawn in the house, I'd rather know where it is than let it sneak up on you.
No, definitely.
Yeah, I can cope with anything except parkdown.
Yeah,
prawns,
until
everything.
Another family member arrives to deal with the situation. I'll stand on the bed and watch it until help arrives.
No, they're but now, Penelope, did you also get a lot of people bringing in indigenous animals that they're not allowed to keep.
Yes, unfortunately, there's a large sort of aspect of what we deal with. Mm. And it can be quite upsetting at times because a lot of the time it's animals that would have required specialized care.
Yes.
And by the time the people bring them in, it's because they are no longer well or their behavior has changed in such a way because they've been kept incorrectly that they're no longer a nice pet.
Yes.
And it just makes our job that much harder, either trying to get that animal well again or trying to actually rehabilitate it psychologically.
Yes.
And that's something we deal with a lot, especially with the suricats, the meerkat. That's a huge...
Well, do people try and keep them as pets?
They're a very common illegally kept pet in South Africa. They're a very social animal, so they bond very quickly with somebody because they're basically genetically designed to want that social contact.
Okay.
So they're very cute babies. I'm sure you've all seen them on
TV.
Adorable.
They're
gorgeous
yes.
babies. But they actually turn into quite aggressive little animals. They are the mongoose family.
Yes.
So a lot of the time people will get them as babies. They'll raise them, they'll keep them, and then when they reach sexual maturity, they start biting, they start spraying with their anal glands. They often will bond with one person, and then anybody else in the family or visiting friends or even pets that they will start attacking. And they can be incredibly vicious. We've had one or two in that the only reason they were brought in is they managed to kill the family dog.
The dog?
That's a horrible story.
Yeah, so they and it's not actually the animal's fault, unfortunately.
No,
it's complete lack of understanding. Yeah.
I think this is the problem. We've had people in here from Monkey Rescue as well that have said the same thing.
Yes.
Cute little babies.
Shame, that's also something we associate with the monkeys.
But then when they grow up, they're wild animals. It's not their fault.
Yeah.
You know, now you're stuck with this, and where do these poor creatures go now?
Yeah, and, you know, luckily with the meerkats, I think because they are social animals, although that is what makes them a problem for the people, it actually makes it easier for us to rehabilitate them because as soon as you start then fitting them into new groups, as we immediately then try and introduce those sort of abnormal meerkats in with others, that triggers the proper sort of response in them. They start creating new social hierarchies within the groups we've put them into. Everything.
So someone is going to be kicked out of the group eventually. Is that what you're saying?
Well, not necessarily. I mean, you will always have a loser in a group. And a lot of the time, if you look at any of these animals with intricate social hierarchies, everybody has a job, even if it's not the best job. So you will have your alphas and you'll have your baby minders and you'll have your food finders and your watchers. And then you will have the losers in the group that do everything that they can to curry favor, but they still have a position in that group. We do end up with quite a few groups because some meerkats just won't get together with other meerkats, but we try and get groups of a minimum of about six because that means that that's a viable group that can be released together as a family with a, you know, an alpha male, an alpha female, a breeding group.
They're so, like, socially dynamic, you know, that they each has a job and each...
Yes,
you know
very much
saying?
So, yeah.
They're like humans. I mean, that level of organization and, you know, this is what you do, this is what I
do. Their own way of communicating all of this.
Yeah, everybody has a job and everybody sticks to their job. So
Penny, do you have a reserve or a shelter where all these animals go to?
You know, we have a couple of different reserves that we work with where we've got, we call them pre-release enclosures or hacking enclosures. It's basically just a boma enclosure to put animals into before they're released into that environment. So we do have a lot of game reserves that we work with to do that for our larger animals, the mammals, the large birds of prey. But a lot of our smaller animals, we actually release them out in the cradle.
Oh, really?
You know, at there's a conservancy there, Kromdraai, that we do a lot of releasing on. So it's a good area to release in because it feeds into a whole lot of other areas that we know aren't developed because it is a World Heritage Site.
Right.
So it works out very well, actually, that we're just around the corner from there.
Yeah. Gosh, and because, you know, often I get asked by people if they can volunteer. Do you sometimes look for volunteers or people to babysit?
We're always in need of volunteers.
Ones?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think just because of the nature of volunteering, it is often quite a transient thing. You know, if you've got a gap year here or a holiday here or you're in between jobs, you'll go and volunteer And then, unfortunately, most people don't have the time once yes. they go, get back into work. So we are always looking for new volunteers. People can go onto our website. There's an application form that they can download. And as soon as they've done that, they can come in, they can start volunteering. They get chances to learn about all the different animals, the different feeding. And there is also the chance to do yes. the hand raising of certain species once they're more experienced.
Because there's a huge need for that, because these little babies that need to be bottle fed and taken care of, it's a 24-hour job.
It is very much so. Mm. Yeah, all the little baby mammals we do send home with our more experienced volunteers once they've learned how to handle them, because you do have to feed them every 2 to 3 hours, even through the night.
Sure.
And so the center, although obviously isn't open 24 hours, you need them to go somewhere.
Yes. Yeah. Someone who's going to stay up.
The website is freeme.org.za.
Yes, that's correct.
Yeah. Freeme.org.za.
So it's anything like that, Penny, if you find some wildlife in your garden, or a little baby bird, or a little baby mammal, you're the first port of call, because you'll come out and
we can give them the advice. Often, you know, you can just leave it there.
Yes.
If it's fine, or we can explain to you how to capture it and bring it through to us, because that is also quite helpful if people can bring them through themselves. But as you were saying, sometimes it's not possible if you don't know how to catch the animal or you're not sure of how to handle it. Yeah.
And sorry, John, you only deal with indigenous.
Yes, that's
okay,
correct.
So not the bearded dragons and that sort of thing.
You know, we do, unfortunately, we do get those in a lot of the time. I think because people will try and take them to vets, and a lot of the vets won't accept them because either they don't know how to deal with them, or they also don't really want the problem of having that stray animal.
Mm.
So we do get bearded dragons and iguanas and corn snakes.
Okay.
And peacocks are becoming more of a problem around Joburg.
Really?
That's interesting.
We get a lot of calls about peacocks, feral peacocks, because people have obviously kept them. They are quite good flyers, or at least the peahens are, without that long tail. Mm. And you'll get a call from someone saying, no, there's a peacock. It's landed in my garden, and they're here in Bryanston or something. So we generally try and refer them to the SPCA, but the SPCA doesn't want to really put the peacocks either.
So Penny, again, let's just repeat. How can people get hold of you? You've got a phone number and a website?
Yes. Our phone number is 011-807-6993, and that's every day of the week, 8 till 5. We do also have an after-hours number, which, you know, if you phone through after hours, that number will be given to you on the
answering machine.
So we are actually 24 hours.
Wonderful.
And then our website, you're saying, is freeme.org.za.
And I also checked out your Facebook page. It's pretty awesome.
Yes, thank you.
Yeah, I think it's just Freeme, hey?
Yes, on Facebook. It is. Yeah, Freeme.
Awesome.
We've also just started an Instagram account, which is Freeme Gauteng.
Okay.
It's only just started. There's about 10 pictures on it, but we'd love people to go and have a look.
You guys kind of skipped the Twitter.
I know.
They went straight from Facebook to Instagram.
No, Penny, thank you so much for coming in today. Really bless you for all you do.
Thank you.
And again, if you find something in your garden, please don't kill it. Not necessary. Yeah. Rather call somebody to come and take care of it for you.
Right, and then on the other side, we are chatting to Schnauzer Friends SA, hey?
Correct.
All
yes,
right.
We'll be back.
The guest of honor, Maximilian.
Yes.
It's time for a WeChat workout. WeChat. Go to the Cliff Central account. Tap connect. Then message to show.
CliffCentral.com.
And we're back with Deborah Blaine, who's the founder of Schnauzer Friends South Africa, who's a wonderful community. These are all people, Jono, that absolutely adore Schnauzers. If you look in the next issue of Canine Zone, you'll see the pictures. All these people sitting, getting together, going for walks, all for the love of this amazing breed. And we've got Deborah Blaine in with us and our special guest, Maximilian. Welcome, Deborah.
Thank you very much.
And welcome, Maximilian. He can't answer us, but he is just too gorgeous.
He's literally on the table. I just want to point that out.
With his little blue tie on.
He looks so at home. He's like used to being the center of attention,
yes.
I think.
No, he's very, very chilled. Yeah. So, Deborah, let's start. Tell us why. This is so exciting for me because we've traveled a long way getting this article together. Tell us how this began. Where did it all start for you?
I got my first miniature Schnauzer Maximilian in end of 2012.
So he is your first baby.
He's my very first.
Okay.
And you know, I wanted to be the best doggy mommy that I could possibly be. And I really struggled to find information on how to, what to feed the dog. I wanted him to have friends. I wanted to go on walks. I wanted to have a community of people that we could be like-minded together.
Yes.
And I started Schnauzer Friends South Africa in August last year, actually. And the goal was to actually start off having walks. So we actually have walks currently once a month in at the Delta Park in Johannesburg. We have up to 70 dogs coming along, schnauzers. And we all walk together. We walk off leash. We just have normally an info talk, and everyone just gets together. If it's a dog's birthday, we bring liver bread and we sing for the dog.
Birthday party.
It's just really, really a fun community. And the more that we've done it together, the more we've grown together. On top of that, we've also have a very active Facebook page, and we encourage people to share information about their schnauzers and about their dogs having a nap, sleeping, getting some treats. And it's really, we've actually grown so big. We're nearly 5,000 likes on Facebook.
Wow.
Yeah. We have walks now, regular walks in Cape Town and Port Elizabeth.
APE, yes.
So we really are spreading. And a large part of what we also do is rescue.
Mm.
So a part of having our community is to have a lot of fun, but also to look after the less fortunate schnauzers.
Yes, yes.
So we've got a hashtag called Getting the Wag Back, and I've got a rescue team of like-minded people, and we work together. We don't have our own shelter per se, our infrastructure. We a virtual rescue, so we network any doggies that are in SPCAs or shelters around the country, and we really make sure that they get a home quickly.
Yes, right.
Recently, we're very, very blessed to have partnered with Woodrock Animal Rescue.
Oh.
So we're actually part of there. We're now part of Woodrock Animal Rescue. We're a division of Woodrock Animal Rescue.
Oh, that's fantastic.
It's amazing. So now we are actually part of a proper NPO.
Yes.
The reason for that was we just grew so big and so quickly, and we were getting quite a lot of donations because recently we've been assisting a puppy farm backyard breeder to rehome 76 dogs and 50 puppies. So we've been getting
a lot of donations.
Sure, it's big, and we've been getting a lot of donations and assistance from our community. And then what happened 2 weeks ago, the 6th of June, the SPCA actually went in and bust another Schnauzer puppy farm. So those dogs are all currently with the SPCA, and they will
be
looking.
They're in the 70s, eh? 70
yeah, I think they were open to correction. There were about 73 little miniature Schnauzers that were bust off this puppy farm. So they will be home via the SPCA. We're trying to assist as much as we can. One of the things we've done, which is just, I'm so proud, we arranged what we called Schnauzer Friends Rescue Rehab Tummy Ticklers. And one of my rescue team members, Jackie Chetty, is the head of Schnauzer Rescue Rehab.
Jackie's in the magazine
yes,
as well.
She's in the magazine.
Yes.
She's in the magazine. She's also featured. So she was tasked to get the tummy ticklers together. We've got so much food and toys.
What are the tummy ticklers?
They, you know, the dogs that come from a puppy farm are normally locked outside. They're not used to any. You know, schnauzers
conditions are
meant to be loved. Mm. You know, I mean, Max, look at him. I mean, they just want love and companionship. And these little doggies are just locked outside. They don't get hardly any human companionship. We've been to the SPCA and also to this backyard breeder's farm. And some of them quiver when you even go near them.
So
the rehab tummy ticklers is really to do that, to go there. Just get them used to a little bit of love.
Yes,
tickle their tummy. You know, we're cutting their nails. The team on Saturday and Sunday actually helped to dip the dogs. Mm. You know, they were covered in fleas, etc. So it's really passionate people who love their dogs and want to give.
Yes.
And that's what I'm so proud of, is that we're not a club. We don't ask for any money. We don't have rules. We're just a community that
loves
really
schnauzers.
Loved schnauzers. Yes. And using social media, we managed to all come together.
Yeah, but that's fantastic, because I think that over the last, you're talking about the horrible schnauzer puppy mills this last week, a Yorkshire, well, it was, they were actually bust a while ago, Yorkshire Terriers. It's actually just getting out of hand. It is shocking. It is cruelty. These are so-called CUSA registered breeders that are breeding these dogs in despair. despicable circumstances, and it has got to be stopped somehow.
I think breeds like this, like you know, the Schnauzer breed that seems very popular and very...
It's a lap dog. It needs love and attention.
And I think the fact that their breed is so popular makes them at risk of these puppy mills. Hey?
Any breed, hey, Deborah? I think any breed is risk of puppy mills. It's for the money. They want to make money.
And I mean, that's what I can't... I'm amazed when I see these dogs, how somebody can be so cruel, you know.
Just to line their pockets.
Just to line their pockets. And, you know, and that's where the community is fighting back. And that's what I'm really proud of. We started exposing the people's experiences on our Facebook page. And more people said, hang on, I also got a sick puppy from that particular breeder. My dog also died after 2 days and they replaced it like a pair of shoes.
Yes.
And that's actually what happened. It was a groundswell of people saying, we will not accept this anymore. And this breeder has been taken out.
Good.
Unfortunately, you've got the aftermath of the little doggies that are now needing homes. A lot of them are unsocial. They need rehab. The other doggies that we're busy rehoming off the contract breeder's farm, and they were actually feeding dogs to this main breeder and then selling them under the same kennel name.
So these are contract breeders. She contracts them to breed more stock.
Exactly. They and call then they them get stock brought back to the farm when they are at a certain age and they get sold.
And then
sold
she
off.
Would sell them.
Yeah, so it's very sad, and I mean, we're aware of quite a lot, at least 150 contract breeding dogs that we're feeding into this kennel on top of the additional dogs. But I mean, what's really sad is the condition of the dogs. We've just paid through our community donations for a vet here to go to the actual farm, the contract breeding farm on Sunday. Chris Kritzinger, one of my rescue partner, he's also very active. He went with, and they basically vet assessed 40 schnauzers. And this is paid through by donations. Hey?
Yes.
We're funding this
caring
via donations
people,
from
yes.
our community. Chris is laughing because he says he carried 700 kilograms of schnauzer.
He got his workout this weekend.
On Sunday, because they had to carry them, get them to the vet to have a look at, and then take them back. So the vet went to the farm. And then Chris also laughed because he said he had he's going to kill me for saying this. He said he had piss and gob and a mummy's milk all over him. But I mean, that's what happens in rescue. You know, you really, you get so involved. And when you go home, your heart is smiling because you've made a difference to these dogs. We've actually rehomed 36 adults recently and 14 little puppies.
That's
and
a lot.
We've got another 40 to go that Schnauzer Friends is looking after. And then the SPCA has the 73 puppy mill dogs. And hopefully our community has really made a difference because now we're watchdogging.
Yes.
We're saying, hang on, that is not acceptable.
Absolutely, that is
your doggy
so
cannot
needed.
Leave home at 6 weeks old. Your doggy cannot do this. And that's where I think social media is amazing.
Yes, it does. It definitely helps. But now you mentioned Chris Kritzinger. He's got a super schnauzer called Percy. Tell us about Percy.
Percy is an amazing little character. He's actually one of our rescue schnauzers. He came from a lady that said he was a depressed schnauzer.
Schnauzer.
He was living outside in the garden, actually. So he was depressed. She said there's something wrong with him. I got her to bring him to me. I looked through our adoption records and I chose Chris because I'd met him before. He wasn't actually part of our rescue yet. And they'd recently lost a schnauzer, and I phoned him and I said, you know, I've got a special little boy for you. And Percy's special. His little ears, one ear sticks up, the other one's down. And now Percy is just he just turned into the most amazingly loved boy, and he's now on our page. He's one of our celebrity schnauzers, so he's called Super Schnauzy Percy, and he's the protector of all schnauzers.
So
he'll help the Easter Bunny, because my little Thomas, I've got a reckless little naughty puppy called Puppy Thomas. Puppy Thomas ate the Easter Bunny, and then Super Schnauzer Percy helped the Easter Bunny to deliver all the Easter eggs. So
these are all
little stories that go on our Facebook page. And Tommy's in love with puppy Betsy, and they swap presents, and you know, there's Super Schnauzer Percy, and there's little Bongo. They belong to the Marburgs in Pretoria, and Bongo is in love with Mystique.
Oh my!
You know,
goodness,
you must see the scandal that goes on the page, but it's so fun, and everybody just and it's all about just having fun with your dogs.
Well, this picture I was showing Jonna earlier of all these people on one of your walks, and all these schnauzers. I mean, some you can't kind of wonder, how would you know who's your, which is your schnauzer? Because they all look the
you
same.
You know, you learn over time. The first, our walks have grown bigger and bigger. And now what we do is we say, guys, please, you have to have a collar and a tag. And you need to have a bright colored bow or something on your dog.
Something that you can recognize.
Everybody, it's we call it organized chaos. And we're quite proud of it. But the dogs all arrive. They run around like hooligans.
Yes, and
we
all go, get along.
And yeah, everyone gets along. And it's so fun. And you just all call the dogs. But we've had to say to people, tie bright colored ribbons and stuff on
identify. It's a lawsuit waiting to happen. Yeah. I mean, people are going to fight for their dog.
Taking
like, no,
the
that
wrong
is
dog
my
home.
Dog, yeah.
And Debra, you were telling me the other day about your wonderful birthday parties and tea parties. Oh, tell us about that.
Max, I've spoiled my schnauzers a lot. So what we've done is...
we can tell.
we started off when Maxie's birthday. We had a doggy cater, so Laura from Happy Tales Doggy Daycare in Bryanston, amazing lady as well. She arranged a cake, so we had a cake with Max's photo on top, and we did party packs. We had about 20 different schnauzers come to our house, and we all just have a party and celebrate with helium balloons, and it's just, you know, it's just fun.
Yes, and
that's what we're trying to encourage, is it's about fun, and it's about loving your dogs and your dogs being part of your family.
And it is wonderful, because it does encourage people to get together and communicate and socialize. I think these days people lock themselves away.
Yeah, you know, and that's what I'm very proud of with the walks is, you know, some people come along, they're nervous, and I say, guys, just enjoy. Let your dog off the leash. We sort of together do what you're comfortable with, and they come back, and some people say, oh, it's the best day ever.
Yes.
And I've had people come to me and say to me, you know, the very first thing I do every day is look at the Schnauzer Friends South Africa Facebook page because it makes me happy.
And your newsletters that go out are also,
you know, it's
wonderful.
Just about spreading happiness, and at the same time we help the less fortunate schnauzers.
Yes.
And because we're having so much fun, when we ask for help, like for the Schnauzer Rescue Rehab tummy ticklers, we get a great people come along, and it's the amazing thing of giving. You know what I mean? Giving to the less fortunate schnauzies.
No,
and that's our hashtag
sure.
is getting
for
the
sure.
wag back.
I mean, our own Damon Calvari is a schnauzer daddy.
Yeah.
And of course him, and I know you work closely with Francois from Keystone Schnauzers. Now Francois is a very reputable breeder.
Yes.
Francois is an amazing guy. And Damon loves his little ones so much.
Well, he actually featured in
he was in the
zone.
Previous
yeah,
issue.
He was the celebrity.
With his schnauzers.
Yeah.
Because they're such happy little dogs. They're very different. Yeah. They've got this character.
Damon sends his schnauzer to what I think he calls it sex camp.
Oh! At Francois' place.
Yeah. And I think shame, this poor dog.
Max is actually a Keystone Schnauzer.
Yes.
So he is actually from Francois. And I wanted to say, Francois, he's the one breeder who attends all our walks. He does talks for us on nutrition. He's really is a reputable breeder. You know,
no, he's
and he gives
us
back
some amazing articles.
And he does,
too.
He gives back to our community. And that's the contrast between your backyard puppy farmers who really don't care and the breeders that really do care and invest in their dogs.
Yes.
And as I said, our community now, warning to all little backyard breeders who might be listening, we're on to you now.
Yeah.
You know, we're a powerful community with social media now. You ain't going to get away with it anymore.
Good. And I think the SPCA, we've had them in studio often. They're also very on top of it at the moment. They're also getting out there. It's got to stop, because these are the feeders of the pet stores and the
exactly.
junk mail ads and
it's through education, and that's what we've done. If you look at our website, it's www.schnauzerfriendsza.com. We have some information on nutrition, you know, what to feed your dog, you know, what schnauzer shouldn't eat. You know, we try and encourage them to give their dogs varied diets, not just to feed them pellets, to try and give them, you know, some raw food, vegetables, they're happy to eat fruit.
Yeah, that's interesting.
You know, there really is, you can do a whole little session again on nutrition, you know, on what they should be eating. We've got stuff on how to groom them. I've got an information on how to throw a schnauzer birthday party, by the way.
I nearly thought you were going to say how to throw a schnauzer, but then
I thought what
never.
What is she going to say, you know?
We've also got our famous, it's called Max Rose and Thomas's liver bread recipe.
Yes.
That's
you must
on
see
now.
The recipes, Jono. They look delicious. I mean, I wouldn't mind. She brought some out just now for Max. They look delicious.
You know, I think Max especially has a very good life, and he's just really a happy dog. It makes me feel warm inside.
Max was the inspiration behind Schnauzer Friends of Africa. So I'm very proud of him because he's changed so many Schnauzers' lives.
Yeah.
You know, and also, you know, I wasn't even a dog person before I got Schnauzers. I was a cat person. And these little Schnauzers, I just want to warn anybody listening, if you don't know Schnauzers, they steal your heart, eh? And they're addictive. So if you're going to get one Schnauzer.
Schnauzer characteristics, what would you say they are?
Loving, gentle, fun. They just want to be around you the whole time. You know, they communicate. They just, and oh, they, one of the very special things about them is that they don't shed any hair. So they're very popular.
Okay.
They're very clean. They're hyperallergenic for people who have a problem with that. But they really do. They need to be inside dogs and be part of your family. What
grooming?
I like.
They do need a lot of
grooming.
Yeah,
they need grooming about every 6 weeks. It's quite a specific Schnauzer cut. I actually, through Schnauzer Friends South Africa and Francois, we ran a grooming course in March. I actually groom my own Schnauzers now.
Really?
But they're just amazing dogs, and they're soft, and they really do need to be not living outside. They need to be actively part of your family.
Yes.
You know, they want to watch TV with you. They want to ride in the car. They want to.
And they're good with children and other animals, cats, for example.
You know, I can't guarantee you they're good with cats.
I suppose it's how they're raised.
You know, I've got three cats, and I got mine as puppies specifically for that. And they every now and again, when I'm not looking, I see them chase the cats.
Okay.
But it also depends on the cat's personality. I've got one boy cat, and I mean, he's the boss. He just gives them a paw, and they go running. And the one little girl cat they chase. So I think they're known to be what you call ratters. So they're meant to be chasing things. But you know, we live in harmony at home. So it just really depends. I guess like any dog, it's how you bring them up and what they...
And you have the two at the moment.
I've got three Schnauzers. Okay. I've got Maximilian, and then I've got his little sister, Rosabella, and then the puppy Thomas. So puppy Thomas is about 9 months old, and he's a real celebrity.
He's the problem dog.
He is the naughtiest.
There's always one.
He is, I don't know, he is the naughtiest little dog you've ever seen, and it's so cute on the website. I mean, on our Facebook page, every time any dog does anything naughty, he gets a high five from Puppy Thomas.
But it's so wonderful to see people getting together for the love of a specific breed, these animal lovers.
You know, the power of a community, you can't underestimate, and I'm very proud of my
community. There really are little communities. Like, I mean, the other day we had the Labrador people in.
Yes.
And everyone who comes in with their specific breed is so passionate about that breed.
Absolutely.
And it's like they almost dedicate their lives to that, which is just amazing.
Yes. Yeah. No, it is. And I mean, I saw your newsletters that you sent out. It's so full of news and makes you feel part of it. And I would have every breed in the book.
Yeah,
if I
Sharon
could.
Would. I think Sharon would have every animal in her.
Except locusts.
I think like that. One of the things that we've definitely achieved with our community is showing people that there's so many people that their dogs, where their life revolves around their dogs, and it's normal, and it's cool, and it's acceptable, and the dogs
are. And it's becoming more so. 100%. I think people are they are aware, and they are taking better care of their pets.
Yeah, and it's about education. You know?
So Deborah, people want to get hold of you. Your Facebook page is called Schnauzer Friends.
We Schnauzer Friends South Africa
Facebook. All right.
Our website is schnauzerfriendsza.com. We're also on Twitter. We're on Instagram. We've got a regular newsletter.
Fantastic. In Canine's Own, we've got an ad in there with all your details on as well.
Yes.
How people can
And our mailing address is schnauzerfriendsza@gmail.com. So there are quite a lot of doggies that are going to be coming up for adoption via the SPCA. So you can actually mail us and we can send you the details. We also have a whole lot of doggies that we're busy rehoming via our Schnauzer Friends community
so
with the assistance with Woodrock. But as I said, they're very special doggies, so we're very fussy about who we adopt our doggies out to.
No, which is a good thing. And I see Maximilian is ready to go. He's
now
got up and said, enough,
the show's
done.
Yeah.
But we'll be back again next week. Deborah, thank you. thank you so much for joining us today and for all that you do, another animal angel. Next week, we've got a very interesting show. We've got Urso Nega, who publishes Animal Talk Pony and HQ. That's going to be amazing to speak to him and see all the good things that they do out there to help animals as well. And then we also got our resident vet. We got Dr. Clint in to talk about a horrible disease that I cannot pronounce that comes from beetles and causes an infection in dogs that you really need to know about. So we'll be back next week to talk about that. And until then, Jonathan said it for me last week, but give your dogs a hug from us.
CliffCentral.com.